My dear friends in Christ, today on the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, we have a gospel that contains two themes. The first part, our Lord talks about the impossibility of serving two masters. We will either stand by one and reject the other, or vice versa. And so you cannot serve both God and mammon. And then the second theme of the gospel is trust in divine providence, avoiding excessive anxiety, especially insofar as our material needs are concerned. Obviously, a prudent provision for our needs and those who depend on us is one thing, but our Lord is talking about avoiding excessive anxiety by pointing to the birds of the air and the flowers of the field and how your Heavenly Father provides for them, but are not you of much more value than they, says our Lord. A wonderful lesson, an important one to remember. But I would like to concentrate on that first theme about how a man cannot serve two masters. One master, of course, is God, and the other who tries to be our master is either the world, the flesh, or the devil, those enemies of the soul. And we could summarize it all into the devil and his temptations. And how many people do you think, down through the centuries, how many Catholics have tried to live a life in which they tried to serve both masters? They tried to serve two masters. And of course, it is only logical that one cannot serve both properly, especially because Christ and his gospel and his teachings are so opposed by the world, the flesh, and the devil. St. Paul talks about that in today's epistle, how the spirit is against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. These two are opposed to one another. And he says, I think he says it quite well, so that you do not do the things that you would. Meaning that we are led by our conscience to follow God's will, but how often do we reject the voice of our conscience and follow the temptation? And it's a difficult thing to go through this struggle. And that's why we need prayer, we need a good spiritual life. But think about that. How many have sought to pacify their conscience that they were still good Catholics and yet lived lives of worldliness, perhaps excessive attachment to money, to fame, to influence, or to the things of the world, or to a sin to which they were attached and were unwilling to give up? Some individuals will donate to charity, or they'll wear the brown scapular, or some other practice of piety and think, well, that takes care of it, and yet fail to observe the commandments, or maybe one of the commandments in particular. I remember reading a story, and this is a true story. In fact, I read it in two or three different sources. And it happened at the time of the persecution in England following King Henry VIII. So in maybe the latter part of the 16th century. And what happened after Henry VIII established the Anglican Church is that if someone didn't go to the local Anglican Church, didn't go to the service, they would be fined. And this was his way of trying to force the Catholics to become Anglicans. Some of them paid so many fines, they lost their lands, they lost their property, and yet they held on to their faith. But sadly, very many who knew that this new religion was false, was not the Catholic religion, went along to get along. They gave in. Well, such was a man who was Catholic at heart, but did not want to lose his property, did not want to face the fines and the persecution. And so what he did, he kept a priest in his house. And he was a wealthy man, had a large estate, had servants, and he had a priest in his home whom he provided for, and he would go to the Protestant service on Sunday. And he said to himself, well, when I come to die, I can go to confession to this priest, and so I can still save my soul. Well, it came about after a number of years that he began to become quite ill, and then all of a sudden took a sudden sharp turn for the worse and realized he was dying. So he sent his servant and said, go find Father so-and-so. And they went to his room and looked through his room, and he wasn't there. And they went through all the house. Finally, they came back and said, we can't find him. And the man now is becoming frantic. He realized he had very little time left. He said, well, he's got to be here. He hasn't left, and he must be in the house somewhere. Go find him. And they went back again and scoured the entire estate, inside and out, looked in every little cupboard, every little place, and couldn't find him anywhere. And then when they went back, the man had died. And after he had died, one of them happened to go back and walked by the room of the priest, and the door was open, and he was sitting there in a chair reading his breviary, this elderly priest. And the servant went up to him and said, I was looking for you. The master was calling for you, and I came by your room, and you weren't here. Where were you? And the priest said, I don't know what you're talking about. I've been right here for the past hour or more, reading my breviary and saying my prayers. I haven't gone anywhere. So he was invisible to these servants as a just punishment for this man who tried to serve both God and man, tried to serve God and the devil, as it were. And how many in different ways try to do that? Try to have two masters, but we can't have two. Only one will win out. And sadly, those who compromise and try to be a friend of the world and a friend of God seem always to fall to the wrong side of the fence. As they try to straddle the fence, always become more servants of the world than of God, against their conscience. So this is an important lesson for us. Really a simple one, but one that is so true. You can't serve two masters. I read a story in a meditation book for priests. And, you know, it's a wonderful meditation book, and it really hits the nail on the head for priests. So we have our meditation period every morning, and the author covers every aspect of priestly life. But one of them was on avoiding attachment to money. Now, fortunately, I'm preserved from that dangerous pitfall by being a religious priest with a vow of poverty. But imagine diocesan priests who had, I knew priests who had maybe a summer home somewhere, or whatever, they saved their money, or maybe they inherited it. And so they owned things, even though they didn't maybe have a large stipend for their services, but they had their own property. But the story was about a priest who went around in tattered clothing, and every time he'd visit his family, he complained about how he didn't have enough of an income from the diocese or the parish and whatever. And after he died, his family were going through the rectory at his things, and they found all of this money that he had saved up. And you think about the pitiful state of a miser, someone who loves money for its own sake, instead of looking at it as a means of obtaining what we need to live decently in this life. What was that poor soul saving that money for? If we have to leave this world sooner or later, what is the point in being so attached to something that we must leave eventually anyway? Store up treasures in heaven, as our Lord said, where neither moth can consume nor rust can destroy. Store up treasures in heaven. So examine your conscience. Am I trying to serve two masters? Am I in some way serving the devil, serving the world, or mammon? Mammon means money, you know, material wealth. Am I serving two masters? Because if you are, you're not serving our Lord properly. To serve him properly, we must reject the devil and all the things that he uses to try to lead us away from God. Then we're true servants of God, and then we will deserve the reward that our Lord has in store for those who serve him properly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.